There's a scene in a book I picked up this week about Africa and China's investment boom there. A young man in Cameroon is standing on a road, offering to fill potholes. He holds a sign that reads, "Stronger than Chinese." It's a little like saying, "Better than German engineering," here. And it sums up how many Africans feel about the Chinese, according to the book China Safari by journalists Serge Michel and Michel Beret. Serge Michel explains what the Chinese are after in Africa.
They need a lot of oil, a lot of timber, a lot of copper, a lot of things that Africa has to fuel their amazing growth. As they come late, you know, the best parts have already been taken by the Western companies starting in the 60s, 70s. The Chinese pay their entry ticket by building them infrastructures. And that's actually very useful because previously Western companies would pay in cash, and this cash was dispersed and would fill the pockets of the rulers.
It would essentially fill the pockets of corrupt rulers in Africa.
Yeah.
Serge Michel, you have described as many as 750,000 Chinese now living on the African continent. Describe the process. I mean, a project comes up for bid. A Chinese company sort of arrives with heavy machinery, equipment, and manpower as well, their own labor.
Yes, yes, they move their labor. For instance, in Algeria, the Chinese has won the tender for building the highway. It's a very large highway, 1,000 kilometers long. They had the schedule to do it in 40 months because the Algerian president wanted the highway to be ready for the elections. The only way Chinese can make the challenge was to move in about 12,000 workers with them.
All Chinese workers?
Yeah, and these Chinese workers, they would live in Chinese barracks, they would eat Chinese food prepared by Chinese cooks. So they live very much among themselves and with very limited contact with local people.
Can you describe for us the relationship between the Chinese corporations and local people? I mean, are they hiring local Africans in these various countries to do some of the labor?
In some places like Algeria and Congo, they are obliged to, for every Chinese they move in the country, they have to hire two or three local workers. And they don't treat them very well. They don't go well together along because they have no common language. The Chinese who move in have never seen a black man before going to Africa. And they have a lot of these cliches about African being lazy and not working properly. And in Africa, people are not used to work in shifts like night shifts and day shifts. And Chinese find them very inefficient.
So, I mean, what is the benefit for local economies if you have these Chinese companies coming in with Chinese laborers, importing Chinese food and goods to house and to feed and to clothe their own employees without employing local labor?
Yeah, the benefit is limited if you want, but on the other hand, they leave behind us infrastructures that are badly needed. It really boils down to this. Many Africans are fed up with the West preaching about democracy, good governance, human rights, but failing to make a difference. And the Chinese, they come with no ideology. They're not there to help. They just want to do business. And this is really appealing for Africans because if you come to make business, you are equal partners.
But there are consequences, of course, for the world. China has a seat on the UN Security Council and has been criticized for its inaction with respect to Darfur. There has been a lot of international pressure on the Chinese to use their influence with the Sudanese to get Khartoum to curb its abuses there. You say that it's not in China's interest for the Sudanese government to stop the abuses in Darfur.
Yeah, on one side, Chinese government doesn't want Darfur to be such a bloody example of their cooperation in Africa. But on the other hand, Sudan was a great opportunity for China for the reason of embargo and the sanctions that United Nations and Western nations have imposed on Sudan. And Sudan is the only place where China is completely alone and free to do what it wants. So it has interest in keeping a certain tension in the country so that it keeps the Western companies out of the place.
Do you see this book as a warning, a cautionary tale for the West, or do you see this book more as almost a celebration of what what is possible in Africa?
Well, a lot of coverage that we've been reading before writing the book was treating this arrival of China in Africa as a new yellow peril or as a new threat for a continent that didn't need more suffering. But overall, Africa needs development and infrastructures, and if China can provide it, great.
Serge Michel's book, China Safari on the Trail of Beijing's Expansion in Africa, is out now in English. His co-author is Michel Beret. Serge Michel, thanks so much.
Welcome.